Welcome to AM Best Audio.
I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and we're at the WSIA conference in San Diego. We've got a flood panel, and we're going to be talking a lot about flood today. They are Patrick Mulready, head of wholesale property for Navigators, John Dixon, CEO, Aon Edge, David Blades, associate director, AM Best, and John Lavin, EVP property for Sompo. And John, let's kick things off with you today. Realistically, who should be purchasing flood insurance?
I think everybody should consider buying flood insurance. So I think one of the big things is Mother Nature doesn't recognize, you know, man-made flood zones, whether it's critical or non-critical. I think in both CAT and non-CAT events, we can have a lot of torrential rain that causes a lot of flooding. Also think changes, you know, due to erosion, prior CAT storms, building development changes the terrain and can also be reasons to buy flood insurance when maybe you thought you shouldn't.
John Dixon, can you explain risk rating 2.0? That was implemented about a year and a half ago. How's it been working out?
So risk rating 2.0 is FEMA's new approach to rate flood insurance. Basically, in the past, FEMA would look at a few property attributes. They would look at a flood rate insurance risk map and use those two parameters to determine a rate. Now, risk rating 2.0 looks at many aspects of individual property, take into individual risk characteristics to tailor rates that are more specific to properties. So in short, this has been a great event for the industry. It's helped the industry evolve. It's brought in better analytics, more precise resolution. We talk about constantly is how we take flood insurance and how we take today's capabilities to help people make better decisions. And risk rating 2.0 is doing just that.
One thing I'd say is that, you know, I think for all of us, as we think about the overall flood peril and we think about what risk rating 2.0 has brought to the marketplace, I think it's long overdue from an NFIP perspective to actually rate flood risk really and truly drilling down on the actual risk. Risks have changed, as you know, John mentioned earlier. You know, past storms have changed, you know, or had, you know, caused coastal erosion. A lot, there's just been a lot of changes as far as, you know, flood risk in different states, you know, along coast, you know, across the country. And so I think it was, you know, long overdue for, from an NFIP perspective, that product to truly reflect, you know, what flood risk properties are really, you know, really bring to the table, and for that particular product to be more, you know, responsive in that way.
Dave, what's the private market's appetite for flood, and has risk rating 2.0 helped that appetite?
So I think what we've seen, AM Best, as we've aggregated flood premiums over the last few years, we've seen some movement from the standpoint of flood coverage being provided by the private market. Kind of, you know, there was growth, and that kind of stalled out from 2022 to 2023. So while I do think, you know, there's more private insurance companies contemplating and thinking about providing flood risk, I also think the changing nature of flood risk, what we've seen just from a changing, you know, climate conditions across the country that have caused, in some cases, a greater frequency of severe storms and flood type losses. I think private companies, as they should, have been, you know, circumspect in kind of determining what kind of, you know, appetite they might have. So again, we've seen private companies come to the marketplace with more solutions, but I do think it's been deliberate, and I think, you know, that I can understand why they're being deliberate. And I think, you know, at least from the standpoint of pricing their risks with risk rating 2.0, kind of from the federal flood product perspective, unfortunately increasing their premiums to again be more reflective of the actual risks, I think, you know, that should make private carriers a little more competitive from that perspective. So I expect that we'll see private companies you know, again, come to the marketplace with more solutions, hopefully, as we go forward. And as we were saying earlier, everybody should probably be contemplating flood coverage. So that would be beneficial to the entire market.
Just to add on that, I love that, David. The other thing that I think we're seeing in the private market, I think it goes perfectly with what you just described. The investments that are now coming into this space are phenomenal. We're seeing companies come in with risk analyzers to help the clients and customers and the industry better understand risk. And so as we see these new players come in with great new creative ideas, the result is everybody benefits. And so that's why we're, I think we're in a very exciting time for this industry, is the number of interests that we're seeing come into the marketplace, again, bringing capital, bringing investments, bringing new capabilities, results in a better solution for all. When we think about making better decisions, these are individual decisions. So we need these individual capabilities. We need these personal investments to understand personal risk, to help individuals make the decision best for them.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
John, are the models able to keep up with how the risk is changing?
It's happening. And I think there's still work to be done. We talk about the coverage gap that persists. I mean, you think about in the United States, last year, about 40% of losses were not covered by insurance. So these economic losses have to be borne by the community. So this is work that we still have to do to close that gap. From a coverage perspective, the gap is even more eye-popping. So the models, I think, are helping that effort. They're helping education, help awareness, help people think about how to smartly deploy capital, but the work is far from done.
Yeah, I think the models are a great guide, but it takes the underwriting augmentation to really assess the risk. And, you know, to John's point, there's a lot of investment in those products, whether we call it, you know, a model or more, maybe some more intelligent risk on its way. You know, it's incumbent upon us as carriers, as Navigators is doing, to take that and adapt it to what the marketplace will hold.
Patrick, how have the extreme weather events impacted risk selection?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it is sort of in summary of what the other panelists have mentioned. No particular area in the country is immune to these critical events, and it seems like in recent history they're happening more and more frequently. So it's up to us as, you know, private carriers to provide solutions, but also, to John's point, educate those buyers of, you know, how to mitigate some of the risk that they have, and also what is their risk, right? To John Lavin's earlier point, yeah, maybe everybody should be considering purchasing flood insurance, but, you know, we got to encourage them as to the why. That goes along with that. So I think Navigators is doing a really nice job in providing solutions to the market along with some of the other carriers. And this is a great organization and conference to come up with some of those solutions.
I would be curious how some of the private market is helping to mitigate flood risk. And John, what are you seeing as far as that goes?
And I think, again, like it goes back to some of the education that we've talked about, teaming up with those guys through, you know, engineers to how can they better protect their assets, things like that. So I think, you know, and it's a team effort. I don't think anybody wants to take on the whole flood market as a single carrier, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to protect against that volatility and help, you know, our clients sleep better at night.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that, like you, as you mentioned, the engineers, the loss control aspect of this in terms from, you know, what the insurance companies can provide to the policyholders, that intelligence, obviously, like you said, from a mitigation standpoint, doing what they need to do to help themselves prior to, you know, from a proactive standpoint of protecting their properties. I think that's another critical element. We've mentioned a few different critical elements, again, using some of the new information that's coming in, being aware of some of the factors that have changed over time. But I definitely think that loss control element, where the insurance companies can partner with their policyholders and provide those truly important services, this is another risk. Floods is definitely a risk where that can be impactful.
Love that. You talked about the models. You talked about the changing weather. You talk about the evolution of the FEMA program. It really comes down to, you know, the mitigation starts with understanding. If you're just thinking about flood insurance and flood risk in terms of a rate map that could be as much as 10 years old, you're using outdated information to make your decision today. Think about it. We used to talk about floods in terms of storm surge, you know, waves crashing on the shore or lakes or rivers overflowing. Today, you look at the cause of most flooding events today, it's rainfall. And so the peril's transitioned. And so as the peril transition, we have to transition. And so I think that's what you're seeing happen now. We're using this technology, we're using this data, we're using our experience to make sure that we're making our decisions current with today's peril, not relying on yesterday's view of risk to help guide us today.
Are you optimistic where the market's headed? How about yourself, Patrick?
I'm optimistic. I think one of the signs of that encourages this optimism is the amount of capital coming into the marketplace that we've seen in recent years after a bit of a slowdown. And so I think there's a real appetite for risk, and it's not just someone coming in looking to make a quick buck. It's actually, you know, really talented folks that have experience and are willing to provide solutions to the marketplace. We don't get to provide our product until after a claim, right? And so it's critically important to us to make sure the policyholder knows what to expect when that happens.
I think it's happening. If you look at the homes, the number of homes that are insured by the combination of the federal program and the private program, there's more homes today insured than there were yesterday. Is it happening as fast as we'd like it to? Is it happening as fast as our communities need it to? I don't think so, but it's happening. So that's the positive. That's the opportunity. I think the trend is a good one. We need to continue to push forward.
That I think, like we said, I think, like we said, I think, like we said, I think, making understand how the flood peril is changing, understanding that they, you know, their property where maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't potentially subjected to a flood loss. Now understanding that they too have exposure to flood risk, I think the resources that are coming into the marketplace in terms of educating, and then the resources that are also coming in more intellectual resources in order to deal with the actual, you know, flood risk, I think from insurance perspective, I think those are two things that make me cautiously optimistic about where the risk is going. But I think awareness is a huge part, because we're talking about policies that, you know, general public's going to have to purchase, going to have to understand that they do have that risk. And so more and more that we as an insurance community are putting into that and making sure that that understanding is out there, I think we can continue moving along and making progress in that area.
All right. Great discussion. John, David, John, Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, John.
From the WSIA conference in San Diego, I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.